Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 17, Text 24. Tapasau cham daya satyam iti padakrite krita adharmam shayo bhagna maya sangha madaistava. In the age of satya truthfulness, your four legs were established by the four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. But it appears that three of your legs were broken due to rampant irreligion in the form of pride, lust for women, and intoxication. Purport. The deluding energy or material nature can act upon the living beings proportionately in terms of the living beings falling prey to the deluding attraction of Maya. Moths are captivated by the glaring brightness of light and thus they become prey to the fire. Similarly, the deluding energy is always captivating the conditioned souls to become prey to the fire of delusion. And the Vedic scriptures warn the conditioned souls not to become prey to delusion, but to get rid of it. The Vedas warn us not to go to the darkness of ignorance, but to the progressive path of life. The Lord himself also warns that the deluding power of material energy is too powerful to overcome. But one who completely surrenders unto the Lord can easily do so. But to surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is not very easy. Such surrender is possible by persons of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. So it's a very interesting point that Srila Prabhupada's making, that where captivated by the illusory energy due to our desire not to be a devotee, but and not surrender to Krishna. And that's also spoken in Bhagavad Gita, which Prabhupada quotes, Daivyesha Gunamayi Mamamaya Dharatya Mam Eva Ye Papadyante Mayam Etam Tarante. That it's Krishna's energy, and we're under the illusory energy, which is Krishna's energy. So we're under that energy, and that energy of Krishna, that illusory energy, is following our desire. When we want to be independent from Krishna and enjoy, to facilitate that, we have to be put into illusion. And that illusory energy is Krishna's energy to facilitate our desire to not be Krishna's devotee. So when we change that desire and surrender to Krishna, then he releases the energy, because he's only putting us in Maya. It's divine. By his power, he's putting us into Maya due to our desire to be the enjoyer and controller, which is a position we cannot have by our own constitution. Prabhupada says that in other place. So Prabhupada's explaining that our desire to enjoy is attracting us to the illusory energy. And therefore we become covered. And then the point that's very significant is to surrender is not very easy. And to surrender is possible by people who are following religious principles. And therefore, our vow upon initiation is the four regulative principles, because it's not possible to chant Hare Krishna, O Krishna, O energy of the Supreme Lord, let me surrender to you, let me serve you. It's not possible without the other part, which are these principles of religion. These four principles of advanced civilization were remarkable features in the age of Satya. In that age, every human being was practically a qualified Brahmin of the highest order. And in the social orders of life, they were all Paramahamsas, or the topmost in the renounced order. By cultural standing, the human beings were not at all subjected to the deluding energy. Such strong men of character were competent enough to get away from the clutches of Maya. So it's very interesting, Prabhupada said, by cultural standing, just by their nature, they were not subjected to deluding energy. And we can also see that, as there's the remnants of culture in India, that certain people, by their cultural standing, even without Krishna consciousness, practically speaking, but by their cultural standing, their austere, clean, merciful, and truthful. And then when they come to Krishna consciousness, it's very, very easy for them to surrender to Krishna. Because they're not captivated by women. They're not captivated by intoxication. They're not captivated by all the distractions of the illusory energy. So there was an age where people were advanced in this, and it's very easy for them to surrender to Krishna's will. The principles of religion are also Krishna's will. Religion means to satisfy Krishna, which means to fulfill his desire, which comes in different principles. But gradually, as the basic principles of Brahminical culture, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, became curtailed by proportionate development of pride, attachment for women, intoxication, the path of salvation, or the path of transcendental bliss, retreated far, far away from human society. With the progression of the age of Kali, people are becoming very proud and attached to women and intoxication. By the influence of the age of Kali, even a pauper is proud of his penny. The women are always dressed in an overly attractive fashion to victimize the minds of men. And the man is addicted to drinking wine, smoking, drinking tea, and chewing tobacco, etc. So you can just see how Kali has degraded in, when Prabhupada talked about intoxication. It almost seems like a pious man in today's world. All he did was drink wine, smoke, take some tea. That's all he did. It was the same point when Prabhupada quotes on the verse, Prayenalpa yasha shubha kalavasmin yugejinaha manda sumanda matayo manda bhaga upadruta. The symptoms of Kali Yuga, so one is upadruta. People always be distracted and disturbed. And Prabhupada describes all the diversions. You know. And it's such an impartial list for today. What Prabhupada wrote in like 30, 40 years ago, what was considered a diversion, it's like been increased hundreds of times. All these habits or so-called advancement of civilization are the root causes of all irreligiosities, and therefore it is not possible to check corruption, bribery, and nepotism. Man cannot check all these evils simply by statutory acts and police vigilance. But he can cure the disease of the mind by the proper medicine, namely advocating the principles of Brahminical culture or the principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. Getting to the root. It's interesting, these points, they have so much potency and relevance. You cannot check evils by statutory acts and police vigilance. Modern civilization and economic development are creating a new situation of poverty and scarcity with the result of blackmailing the consumers' commodities. When I first read it, now I have to see what it meant. It's hard. I was thinking initially that they created a new type of poverty because they take all the people's money. You know? Like today, people are they're making more money, but instead of one person working, both people have to work. Because of the modern civilization has a way of creating these artificial necessities and forcing people into poverty. Did you edit this, Jai Dwaitaraj?
No. Blackmailing is not the right word.
Hmm. What do you think Prabhupada was referring to? If the leaders and the rich men of the society spend 50% of their accumulated wealth mercifully for the misled mass of people and educate them in God consciousness, the knowledge of Bhagavatam, and educate them in God consciousness, the knowledge of Bhagavatam, certainly the age of Kali will be defeated in an attempt to entrap the conditioned souls. We must always remember that false pride or too high an estimation of one's own values of life, undue attachment to women or association with them, and intoxication will divert human civilization from the path of peace, however much the people clamor for peace in this world. So interesting. People are clamoring for peace, but doing the very things that cause peace. It reminds me of a verse by Rishabhadev, where he describes that people are mad. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma yad indriya. They're mad because they're trying to solve their suffering with the very root cause of their suffering. The very root cause of our suffering is fruitive consciousness or karma. Prabhupada in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and the Bhagavad Gita itself defines karma as the consciousness by which one gets a body. And the consciousness by which one gets a body is fruitive consciousness. The consciousness that I am the enjoyer, which causes the illusion, or Krishna facilitates that illusion by the illusory energy, which makes us think that we're the material body, which makes us think that we're the enjoyer. So the root cause of suffering is fruitive consciousness. So when people are suffering, how do they try to free themselves from that suffering? By fruitive consciousness. That's crazy. It's mad. The very thing that causes their suffering is how they're trying to relieve their suffering. The preaching of the Bhagavatam will automatically render all men austere, clean both inside and outside, merciful to the suffering, and truthful in daily behavior. This is the way of correcting the flaws of human society, which are very prominently exhibited at the present moment. Om Gyanatimarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumulatam Nina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Vipa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasade Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Actually, reading this verse, I'm seeing very much the thematic structure of the Bhagavatam. The concepts that tie everything together, even though they appear apparently unrelated. So it's very interesting how Prabhupada brings that out in this story, which is about this section, which is about the necessity for the individuals, for an individual to become Krishna conscious, to be in a group or a society that has strong administration. And then it comes down here to the Marge Prickett talking about the principles of religion and seeing how the personification of religion, the bull, three of his legs are broken. And then Prabhupada relates it that the panacea or the cure is the knowledge of the Bhagavatam, which is very interesting, because this is the part of the story here that's being told where Krishna is absent. And Krishna, and it's leading up, the drama of Maharaj Prickett's life is that the Bhagavatam appears to him at the moment of his death, or Krishna appears in the form of his message. So Krishna was there, and then we're having the story of the Bhagavatam. It's kind of a mini Mahabharata, but we saw Krishna was there, now he's not there, and then he'll appear in the form of the Bhagavatam, and we're seeing the effects of Krishna's absence, and that's been going on and on again. The effects of Krishna's absence. And when Krishna physically left, or he left in his manifest form, he reappears in the form of his message. And that relates right to the very, very beginning of the story, because the sages of Namasharanya, they're there at the beginning of Kali Yuga. And they're Tri Kala Gya, they're seeing the future. And what are they seeing? They're seeing a religion, and they want to know what to do. And the answer that's given to them of what to do, what is the essence of the scriptures, what is the absolute and ultimate good so that people can be satisfied in heart? And the answer was pure devotional service, which means the Bhagavatam. And when Krishna's left the planet, where will he be? It means the Bhagavatam. All their questions were leading to the Bhagavatam. And when you tell and then they begin to tell the whole history of the Bhagavatam. And what's the history of the Bhagavatam? Vyasadeva has a duty at the beginning of Kali Yuga. And he's in his mood of compassion, he's trying to see what to do for the suffering people of Kali Yuga. And it ultimately comes to the Bhagavatam. This is the process of self-realization. It's the process of becoming religious. So you can even have the qualification to surrender to Krishna. It's the Bhagavatam. So I'm actually become very enlivened when I read these different sections, because somehow I'm inspired in my own service to Prabhupada to propagate the Bhagavatam. And everyone's seeing there's difficulties, there's problems in our society, so everyone wants to do something. This is what I want to do, this knowledge of the Bhagavatam. And books are the basis. And this is and what was Prabhupada's mission? When Prabhupada came to America, and he stood on the shore, and I have the vision of him looking at the forces of Kali Yuga, the powerful army of Kali Yuga, and seeing, their communication, their industry. They're so organized. And then he was feeling very, very insignificant. How will he counteract this? Because that was Srila Prabhupada's mission. In line of our disciplic succession, Prabhupada's mission is, how can I counteract irreligion? Prabhupada had the same mission as Maharaj Prickett. He had the same mission as Vyasadeva. He had the same mission as the sages of Namasharanya. Prabhupada says that's what a sage does. Bhurajan made a point that the sage performs sacrifice or religious activities to purify the atmosphere. Bhurajan made the point, he said, that's the mark of a sage, and that's what makes one a sage. So you see all the personalities who are saintly people in the world, they see Kali Yuga, and they see how they can counteract it, and they're very, very concerned. And they all come up with the same solution. And I hope we come up with the same solution. They all come up with the same solution. They see Kali Yuga, and it was interesting. Prabhupada's standing there, and he said, I'm one man. What am I going to do? How will I fulfill the order of my Guru Maharaj? And then what did Prabhupada quote? He quoted from the Bhagavatam, a very interesting section that he quoted from the Bhagavatam. beginning with Srinvata Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Hidyantasto Yabhadrani Vidanoti Suritsitam, Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. This is what Prabhupada quoted. He told us, this is Kali Yuga, it's entering Rastre in the state, Pure in the kingdom, Griha in the house, Atmani in the self. This is the process. It's this transcendental message. And then he explained the verses. There's a progression of verses of how it actually purifies one's heart. Beginning with Srinvata Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana. And ultimately, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. You actually realize the truth, which is the purpose of human life. So we see that all these things, all these verses, they come back to the same point. That the only way to counteract illusion, ignorance, and maya is surrender. And surrender is invoked by the process of chanting and hearing. That's the only cause of us being in the material world, is we don't want to be a devotee. We don't want to surrender to Krishna. We don't want to be what we are, which is Krishna's servant. So Krishna puts us in illusion, so we think we're not Krishna's servant. And the only way to get out of the illusion is to invoke the spirit of devotion. And what is devotion? I want to serve Krishna. I want to be his servant. I want to be what I am, which is Krishna's servant. I want to uncover my eternal nature. So the Bhagavatam is recommending again and again that the panacea is chanting and hearing about Krishna. And even in this story about good government, comes down to the same point. And then Prabhupada saying that the leading men, the resources should be used to propagate the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, just briefly, because I don't think we really, just to review the last section, and remember that the chapter begins with Maharaj Prickett observing the how Kali entered by attacking the bull and the cow, and seeing that the cow, which was spotlessly white, which represents religious principles, was trembling. And seeing the cow is calfless, beaten, and hungry. And seeing a low-class man dressed as a king behind it all. The symptoms of Kali. And then he tells the cow and the bull, do not worry because a strong king is here. You will be protected. And then asked him the very interesting question, because he wants to protect him. Who has done this? And then knowing that the bull would be reluctant to respond, then he begins to explain that it's okay to kill the torturers of the offenseless. And if one doesn't do it, if one doesn't do his duty, this is the paro dharma of the kshatriya. This is the duty. This is righteous. So let me do my duty. Tell me who has done this. This is the proper thing to do. This is what a twice-born person does. He does his duty, which is protect. And then we saw that the bull, what was that word? Vakya Beda Vimohita. Yes. Oh. Yeah, electricity is not working, unfortunately. Vakya Beda Vimohita. He said, I am bewildered by Vakya Veda, all the different types of words and doctrines about what is the cause. And then he starts saying, well, some people, vikalpa vasana, they think the mind is the cause. Some people, karma, they think that the cause of everything is just your own work. And some people, swabhavam, they think it's the material nature and the elements that's the cause. And some people think daiva, it's superhuman. So who has done this? And the bull will not identify, and then makes a very, very, and he won't identify who is the cause. And there's other interesting points that go, is that there is a cause, but to exactly understand every particular instant and why it's happening, what you can understand basically is that Krishna is absolute and good. That what's happening is good, and what's happening is beyond your control to you. Your destiny is absolute and good, but why particularly it's happening? What was the remote or intermediate? Why Krishna is doing this to you? You may not know. Bhishma Dev Prabhupada quoted, who can understand the... It's very, very intricate. Very, very intricate, because our illusion is since time immemorial. And Krishna, he has to maintain our free will, he has to inspire change in us. So he creates a destiny or environment that's maximum conduciveness to bring us the realization we need to elevate ourselves to the next stage. But because our illusions and attachments are so subtle, then how Krishna arranges our circumstances to help us to confront our illusions, very, very intricate and different. You can't understand. We understand that it's Krishna. And then the king he understands that you are religion. And then makes this amazing point that you know the truth of religion and you're speaking according to the principle that the destination intended for the perpetrator of irreligious acts is also intended for one who identifies the perpetrator. And I thought about this because it seems like if you identify someone, then you get the same destination as the person that perpetrated the act. Just think of it in a practical way. There's some devotee that's harassing you or something or doing something to you. Now, because you're not religion personified and you're not religious and you're not realized, you identify the person as the cause of your activity, rather than seeing that it's actually Krishna who's making the arrangement through this person to purify you. So then what will happen if you don't see Krishna behind it? What you will do is you'll react against the person, or you'll want to get back the person. And therefore, what will happen is you'll have to come back in another life to get that person back. Or you'll do something to him in such a way, in other words, you won't act as Krishna's servant. You'll act as the enjoyer and the controller. He's done something to me. He's cut off my enjoyment. Therefore, he is my enemy. I will react. You get the same destination. You become entangled. But one who is, and this is not an easy realization, but one who is God conscious, and he sees it, he'll view it like the example, the perfect example is Vidura. Duryodhana insulted him, practically beat him, threw him out of the kingdom. And what did he do? He understood that this is arrangement by Krishna. Krishna is using this person's maya for the purpose of purifying me. So he thought, what should I do? And therefore he left. But if he wasn't religious, what would he do? He would say something back to Duryodhana. He would develop a grudge. He would develop some envy. And then he would act not appropriately in response. It may be appropriate. Anyway, he would act inappropriately in response. And therefore he would be bound in the same thing. And perhaps the person who was doing something to him made the same mistake in the previous life. The person who was, as they say in India, abusing, the person who was abusing him, perhaps in the previous life he was abusing him. So it's the same destination. So person who is the personification of religion, the key point is he sees Krishna as the cause. And therefore, every activity he sees, everything in his destiny he sees as Krishna's will, and therefore tries to understand Krishna's will and respond to Krishna's will for Krishna's service, which generally means our main service is enlightenment or purification, which is what Krishna wants us. In other words, Krishna's arranging something for our enlightenment. It means Krishna wants our enlightenment, and as his devotee, then we respond for our enlightenment. And that's what religion means. Religion means to see Krishna as the cause. And then he says, thus it is concluded the Lord's energies are inconceivable. No one can estimate them by mental speculation or word jugglery. And Prabhupada says, the question may be raised is why a devotee should refrain identifying an actor, although he knows definitely that the Lord is the ultimate doer. So why didn't he say, who is the cause? He said, Krishna. Why didn't he say directly that Krishna is the cause? And Prabhupada in the purport indicates, because the Lord is also not directly responsible for everything done by his energies. Not directly responsible. So it wasn't a complete answer either to just say, oh, it's Krishna did it. It's a little bit more complicated than that. Krishna is the ultimate cause, but ultimately we're the cause. And Krishna's responding to us. In other words, whatever outside of us, we've ultimately caused. Prabhupada said, what is the first will of the living entity is not to surrender to Krishna. The consequent will of Krishna is to put us in illusion. So whatever outside of us is ultimately coming from us. And therefore, when some destiny or something comes, we should understand that we're the cause, because it's directly responding to our own impure consciousness. It's coming to us for purification. And it's directed by Krishna. And therefore, it's directed in a very personal way for our own imperfection. So it's ultimately our imperfection and our past deeds. And our imperfections, our impurities, are simply reflections of our past deeds. And therefore, it's coming personally. And therefore, in distress, someone may more feel his personal relationship with Krishna, because he'll see how expertly Krishna is moving the destiny for his benefit. Okay, we will go on with Maharaj Parikshit. Now, recognizing the bull as the principle of the as religion personified. Idanim dharma padaste satyam nirvataye jita tam jagakshat yadharmoyam anvatenaidita kali. You are now standing on one leg only, which is your truthfulness. And you are somehow or other hobbling along. But quarrel personified, flourishing by deceit, is also trying to destroy you. So there's some element left of satyam. The bull standing on four legs means the pillars of religion. And the one standing is there's some truthfulness, and that's also being nirvartaye, hobbling along somehow or other. And the personality of religion, jigrikshati, is trying to destroy the one leg left by deceit, untruthfulness. And Prabhupada in the purport discusses these principles of religion. And it's a point that's going to be made in the next few verses, that they don't stand on some dogma or formulas, but they stand on basic regulative observances, austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. And Prabhupada's describing how the mass of people must be trained in this culture if we want religion. Ultimately, if we want to become devotees also, we must be trained. Because our process of training them, as Prabhupada will mention, is the revival of Bhagavad Dharma can save human civilization from falling prey to the evils of all descriptions. Prabhupada mentions this in the purport. Shundata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hidyanta Stoya Bhajani Vidanoti Saritsitam. How we become pure is that we serve Krishna with sincerity, and Krishna reciprocates by purifying our heart and removing the obstacles. And he specifically mentions wealth and women. That's the verse where he says that even stalwarts on the line. So automatically, by the revival of Bhagavad Dharma, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Things that are abhadra, that are inauspicious, automatically destroyed. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. When you, nitya means daily. When regularly, just like in Kartik, it's recommended one does Nitya Seva. Especially Gaudiya Vaishnava Sannyasis, they may be traveling and preaching. They may not do Chaturmasya. But in Kartik, Nitya Seva, you come to the Dham, and, you know, other times you may be up till 12 o'clock at night, one night preaching and running in the morning, you know, or getting on a plane at 5 o'clock. And each day is different. But for Kartik, it should be Nitya Seva. Regular, simple, every day, just like we're doing. We hear Bhagavatam, we go to the Jamuna, we chant at the same time. So this Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya, this service of the Bhagavat, the book Bhagavat, the person Bhagavat, Nashta Prayesha, it automatically destroys. So Prabhupada is also indicating in the purport that we can adopt these religious principles, and we do it. You can also, although generally it's Vasudevi, Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga, Piyojita, Janayat Yasu, automatically they come from devotional service, but there can be some concentration. For the purpose of devotional service, you can practice some austerity to become detached from the body, to give you strong. And I think Prabhupada mentions that in the verse, is it Satatam Kirtiyanto Mam Yatantastha Chudhavrataha? Prabhupada quotes on, it's Satatam Kirtiyanto Mam, and you chant, Yatantastha Chudhavrataha, that you make firm vows, and that strengthens your mind. And here also Prabhupada mentions fasting twice or four times a month is a sort of austerity which may be voluntarily accepted for spiritual realization. Austerity means to accept voluntary things which may not be very comfortable for the body but are conducive for spiritual realization, for example, fasting. And sometimes Prabhupada talked about this. He talked about it in relationship to the Gurukul here. He said, human life is meant for tapasya. Even though it's the saving grace of the child, people will think it's cruel and unjust. The saving grace. Because austerity detaches you from the bodily concept. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita, what is that? Prakriti, 13th chapter. Stohi, it can... Yeah, the living entity becomes one with the body by bhunte, by enjoyment. So ultimately, it's the desire for sense gratification or enjoyment that the consciousness becomes absorbed in the body for the process of enjoyment. So material enjoyment increases the bodily concept. So therefore, when we undergo some difficulty, then naturally the consciousness withdraws. I had a personal experience of this when I was first in India. It was like so austere. It was just living through the winter in the guest house. It was like living in an ice box and then taking a shower and cold showers. And then it was just so austere. And the summer, it was so hot. And I went through this for a few years, and then I went back to the West and I went to a dentist. It was my father's friend, and he took me to the dentist. So he said, he said, hold my hand and I'm drilling your teeth. When there's pain, press hard. So he kept on drilling and I wasn't pressing his hand. And he was like looking at my father. But I just realized that, you know, I was so used to getting in those ice cold showers and trying to abstract my consciousness from the body, and then, you know, the hot sun, that you actually you know, it makes you less disturbed by, you know, you actually withdraw the consciousness from the body. You become more tolerant. And so Prabhupada discusses that, and cleanliness, which also means internal cleanliness, which means Krishna consciousness, and how everyone in Kali Yuga is so anxious to get peace of mind. But how can there be peace of mind when there's always material desires flowing? Prabhupada recommends by pride, either artificial or real, the resultant action of austerity is spoiled. By too much affection for female association, cleanliness is spoiled. By too much addiction to intoxication, mercy is spoiled. By too much lying propaganda, truthfulness is spoiled. The revival of Bhagavad Dharma can save human civilization from falling prey to the evils of all description. Next verse. The burden of the earth was certainly diminished by the personality of Godhead and by others as well. When he was present as an incarnation, all good was performed because of his auspicious footprints. Now she, the chaste one, referring to the earth, being unfortunately forsaken by the personality of Godhead, laments her future with tears in her eyes, for now she is being ruled and enjoyed by lower class men who pose as rulers. So again, it's practically a summary, because this is what initially was described when the bull came to the cow. He saw the same thing, sochiti, lamenting, ashru, kala, tears in the eyes, udvita, forlorn. Why? Krishna has left. And because Krishna has left, what is happening? A brahmanya, devoid of brahminical culture, Nripa, Vyaja, Sudra, a low class ruler is devoid of culture. Bhokshante is enjoying. The earth is being ruled and enjoyed by lower class men who pose as rulers. Just a summary of Kali Yuga. I guess it must be important because it's repeated again and again and again. A brahmanya, nipa, vyaja, devoid of brahminical culture, some low-class man takes the position of ruler to enjoy and exploit the earth, and therefore religious principles are not followed, and there's all inauspiciousness. And again, Prabhupada says, and in the absence of a suitable king to curb religious tendencies, educating the people systematically and teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam will clear up the hazy atmosphere of corruption, bribery, blackmail, etc. Maharaj Prickett, who could fight 1,000 enemies single-handedly, thus pacified the personality of religion and the earth. Then he took up his sharp sword to kill the personality of Kali, who is the cause of irreligion. So here, Nishitam Adite, sharp Adite, took up Khadgam, the sword, Kaliye, to kill the personified Kali, Adharma Hetave, and get the root cause of religion, to just uproot it. Again, it's just to uproot it. And Prabhupada again, he said, the administrators should not simply pass resolutions for anti-corruptional steps, but they must be ready with sharp swords to kill the persons creating corruption from the angle of vision of the recognized Shastra. The administrators cannot prevent corrupt activities by allowing wine shops. They must at once close all shops of intoxicating drugs and wine, and force punishment, even by death, for those who indulge in habits of intoxication of all description. That is the way of stopping the activities of Kali, as exhibited herein by Maharaj Prickett, the Maharata. And Prabhupada, he talks about this also, about free will and destiny. He said, Kali is coming. Kali, should you do something? Prabhupada said, this age of Kali will certainly be full of activities of Kali. But this does not mean that the leader society, the executive heads, the learned and above all the devotees should sit down tightly and become callous to the reaction of the age of Kali. In the rainy season, certainly there will be profuse rainfall, but that does not mean that men should not take means to protect themselves from the rain. So the destiny is there. Free will is there. The government has free will. They have to react. When the personality of Kali understood that the king was willing to kill him, he at once abandoned the dress of the king and under pressure of fear completely surrendered to him, bowing his head. So this is also interesting. Prabhupada says the royal dress of the personality of Kali is artificial. And why is it artificial? Sama God fully surrendered, Bhaya Vivala, under pressure of fearfulness. This is not a real Kshatriya. As soon as there's some challenge, then Pondraka, the false king, dressed as a king. The royal dress is suitable for a king or Kshatriya. When a lower class man artificially dresses himself as a king, his real identity is disclosed by the challenge of a bona fide Kshatriya like Maharaj Prickett. A real Kshatriya